our second segment with Graydon Blair, I'd like to take it to another level and just kind of and ask Graydon just how a person like myself or Larry or Joe Mancini or Sam can or Rick Hartman can take the knowledge that he has and do it on our own level. You know, how can we generate, you know, what are the best crops? You know, what are the packages that we should buy from his company or some other company that to get us started? What are the simple steps that we should take if we want to, say, exchange our 100% dependency on fossil fuels for our vehicles down to about, you know, 80% so that we don't have to depend on a gas pump for our energy needs? So where would you get started with that, Graydon?
You know, the first thing I'd do is I'd evaluate your vehicle needs. First, see, I mean, do you really need an F-350 truck that never leaves the dirt? Or can you handle a older Mercedes vehicle? A lot of it's kind of your self-image, if you will. But for most people getting started, what I recommend that they do is first see if they even have the ability in their area to make the fuel. I mean, you might live in an area where you're homeowners association just says absolutely not, we don't want you touching it, and if that's the case, you know, sorry, no brainer, you're not going to do it. The other thing you need to take an inventory of is, where are you going to get the oil to make this fuel? Are you a farmer? If you're a farmer living out somewhere and you've got a lot of land, the crops that do quite well are canola and soybean is the largest grown crop in the United States right now, probably second to corn's the biggest, and some wheat, but soybean is where the majority of our biodiesel is produced from on a commercial scale when they produce it. For the homeowner or for this, you know, Joe Schmo without a farm out back, you know, 20 acres or something, you're going to be looking at restaurants, and you're going to be looking to see which restaurants in your area you can get oil from. On my website at utahbio.com, I have a great getting started guide that kind of walks down through these steps. But the very first step I tell everyone is you've got to see if you've got access to oil, because if you don't, there's really no purpose in even proceeding.
Well, is there maybe designated dealers in different areas?
No, there's not.
No?
Uh-uh. Okay. There's really
not. You just go around and talk to managers or something at each restaurant near you?
You just go in and talk to them and find out would they be willing to give you their oil. In some states, like California, I know you have to be registered with the state to collect oil as a renderer. In Utah and certain counties, you do as well. So you want to check out with that. So a couple things you want to check. Number one, can you even make fuel in your home? Will your homeowners association or will your local municipalities let you do that? Number two, do you have access to the oil? Number three, if you have access to the oil, can you collect it legally? Or do you have to be licensed to do so? And what's the cost associated with that? Once you've identified that you've got oil, you can do it in your location. Now we need to talk about equipment. Okay, how much do you want to spend? Identify how much fuel you consume on a regular basis and see what you're willing to spend to be able to produce that fuel. Biodiesel in and of itself, when produced on a homeowner situation, can usually be produced for about 90 cents to a dollar a gallon. That's pretty good. Over, you know, paying $2 a gallon roughly for diesel fuel right now. Once you've identified, yes, I can make the fuel, I think it's going to make sense for me to make fuel, how much fuel do you need? Let's talk a little bit about vehicles. Are you comfortable with owning an older vehicle, or do you have to have a new vehicle for your status in the neighborhood you live in or what have you? Most biodieselers in the United States that make it themselves are driving it in older pickups, or they're using it in older vehicles. Mercedes and Volkswagen are the two common diesel vehicle manufacturers that in recent models still offer diesel engines. If you go back into the 80s, you can get into some older ones, but in the United States right now, they're actually, for automobiles, you've got Volkswagen, Mercedes, and Chrysler with the Jeep Cherokee, which is a trade-off that they got from they're merging with Mercedes for a while. Ford, Chevy, and Chrysler all offer large pickups in the 3/4 ton and larger with diesel engines in them. Ford was getting ready before the economy hit the tailwind, you know, trash, to release a diesel V6 for the F-150 market. That has been put on hold right now. GM has a 4.5 liter small diesel engine that they were getting ready to bring here. Also, If things go well, Honda will be bringing something here. The Civic and the Accord and possibly the Honda Odyssey and the Honda Pilot all have diesel engine equivalents over in Europe, and they've been talking about bringing them here. So vehicle-wise, you might be looking at that. The next thing you need to look at is, okay, once you've identified the vehicle that you want, you need to figure out, is it going to run biodiesel or not? We talked about in our last segment the EPA regulations on new vehicles and the struggle to be able to run high blends in them. So you want to find that out. Once you've identified that, you've identified how much fuel you want to make, you've identified that you can get a vehicle, get the vehicle, and then I would recommend that you find some place to get commercially made biodiesel and run it in that vehicle. So you get a feel for what biodiesel may or may not do to that vehicle. If you feel
where do you think you might pick that up at?
If you go to nbb.org or biodiesel.org, they have a list of retailers all over the United States that sell biodiesel, and you can find out who's selling it in that area. You just look it up and look around. You can also probably find some guys.
Actually, I did that the other night. I got that from your website, and it turned out there's somebody probably within walking distance from my house.
Hey, cool. So yeah, there's actually quite a few retailers. I would say that retailers, it's seasonal. In the winter, a lot of places won't carry it because of its gel properties. It gels at a higher temperature than diesel fuel, and they don't want to get into the liability. But out in the summer, we see it pop up quite heavily in retailers all over. It also depends on how close do you live to the soy belt in the United States. We've noticed that there's a heck of a lot more biodiesel retailers close to the soybean manufacturing facilities and the farmers out there. So
yeah, there's actually been a lot of talk here, and I live in Southern Illinois, and ADM is doing a massive plant up there to run biofuels, and it's been all over the papers. But they really kind of stay away from the specifics. They're just talking about the size of it. I think we're talking about billions of dollars of investment they're doing right now for biodiesel.
That's true. Makes sense for them because, I mean, they sell oil, and they've got access to the feedstock. Hey, let's sell fuel too. Mm-hmm. So once you've done that, it's time to figure out how to make the fuel. And if you go to my website, utahbio.com, you can watch our video segment, and you can learn how to make the fuel. I'd encourage you to make a small sample batch. You know, we sell kits on our website called the Basic Biodiesel Start Kits. You can order everything. It'll come to your door. You can go out and find some oil somewhere and teach yourself, give yourself a confidence to be able to make the fuel.
What's the cost of that kit?
Those kits run anywhere from,
you know, I'm a novice. I just want to do a batch or two to see if I like it at all. And then I might upgrade from there. So what's your entry level package?
Our entry level kit is $19.75. So it's under $20. That was our goal, is to be able to, for under $20, you can find out how to make biodiesel.
Okay.
And then from there out, you can scale up to one that's $50 that allows you to make it out of waste vegetable oil, one clear up to $90 that allows you to make, expand it beyond that and start getting into small production.
Out of curiosity, let's say I take I'll go to the grocery store and pick up canola oil and convert it to biodiesel. You know, $20 doesn't seem very much. And let's say I convert that. What is my cost per gallon? Let's say
quite a bit, because that canola is going to cost you over $4 a gallon.
Okay. All right. Just curious.
No, it's a good question. New oil is very, very expensive. Waste vegetable oil, if you can collect it, is much less expensive. But it doesn't make sense unless you're producing over 1 million gallons a year, or unless you've got that big field out back with 100 acres to plant and use your own virgin oil. It's just too expensive right now. So, but waste vegetable oil you can get for free. You don't take into account really your time to go get it. Treat it like a hobby. If you think you're doing this to save money, don't do it, because you aren't. But if you're thinking about doing it to become economically savvy, to be able to teach yourself how to do, have options in case the oil runs low, that's exactly where you want to head. Now, once you've identified that you can make it, it's time to expand into the equipment. There are people that will sell you equipment for a couple $100s, you could build a processor. I've got kits clear up to equipment that is stainless steel. You put your oil in and you push a button. I sell one unit that'll make 100 gallons over 48 hours that runs for roughly $13,000. But it will make fuel with very little work on your part. You pour the oil in, you pour the chemicals in, you push a button, and it does the rest. So there's a wide range of products and out there. The other thing I would encourage anyone that wants to get into biodiesel to do is to do their research. You can do some research at our website, utahbio.com. We provide a lot of that type of thing. But there's a website that I highly encourage you to get a hold of and look at. Two websites, actually. First one is biodieseltutorial.com. And it's called the Collaborative Biodiesel Tutorial. It was written by people all over the world, actually, that wanted to promote the use of biodiesel and promote the act of making it yourself. So I was part of that, and our goal was just to put information out there to teach you how to do it. The other one is a website forum called biodieseldiscussion.com, and it's the Biodiesel and SBO forum, and it is the absolute largest forum in the world for biodiesel. And again, it's biodieseldiscussion.com. When you get there, any topic you can think of is discussed ad nauseum. There's people that have been making biodiesel for tens of years on that website, and they're happy to share. So those are the two things I'd get into. And then find someone that's been doing it. Usually through that website, you can find someone in your local area that's doing it. A lot of people do workshops. A lot of people are happy to show you how to do it. And then go learn how to do it. And then kind of from there, you can determine, once you've done all these different things, if it's really right for you. And that's kind of the pathway I would lead you down to get started. And start making fuel and become independent from the oil companies and give them the fingers you drive by Exxon. That's kind of it in a nutshell.
I got a question for you, because you've probably done this tens of times, but how do you approach, let's say that you want the Chinese restaurant and say, you know, hey, listen, I want to do this and
I want
and then,
your
and
oil.
They might be curious, or even how do I collect? You know, seen in restaurants, it's like in a gate. You know, it's like it's almost.
It is no, that's an excellent question. A lot of it has to do with your ability to schmooze. Quite honestly, first of all, before you ever ask a restaurant for their oil, I would go around back and I would pick up a sample of that oil and take it home and test it. There's a process that, if you learn about how to make biodiesel, called titration. You don't ever want to ask a restaurant for oil only to turn around and find out, oh, it's too bad to make fuel from. Oh, no thanks, because you've just ticked someone off. We highly encourage you to go and check the oil out first, bring it home, test it. Once you've determined that, yeah, it's going to be good fuel or good oil to make fuel, go in and say, hey, I've got an experiment I would like to do. Can I use your oil? And they said, oh, sure, you bet. And so you get some and take it home and play with it. After that, after you've determined it's good and you really want to get into it, I'm going to tell you a website with a guide on how to collect oil. And he talks about how to schmooze the restaurant owner and how to go it. It's called murphysmachines.com. Those are both plural. Murphysmachines.com. M-U-R-P-H-Y-S, machines.com. He has one of the best well-written articles on how to collect oil out there. And he goes through the steps to schmooze the restaurant owner and the manager and how to go about collecting it. There's a million different ways to collect the oil and bring it home. I would tell you whatever works best for you is what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that I noticed on there was you've got one scene in which there's glycerin in there, and mm-hmm. then in the next scene it's gone, you know, because mm-hmm. these are for the people that have gone through the tutorial. I've gone through it myself, and I, you know, it's the glycerin will settle down at the bottom. It's a thick, very, you know, it's almost like it's almost soap at that point, isn't it? Glycerin. It's like a heavy soap.
It's not soap. It's still crude glycerin, and it still has to be refined if you want to make soap out of it. But it's a waste product. It's basically glycerol, which means it's glycerin, soap, methanol, and residual catalyst that's left in there.
Okay, so just a question I had. I was like, in one scene it's there, and then the next scene it's like gone. So, and it sinks to the bottom. So do you drain off the bottom first?
Yeah, you just drain it off the bottom.
And then just as soon as it gets to the biofuel, you cut it off.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, if you want to see a good example of it being made, too, if you go to my website, it's utahbio.com, and you find the BioPro 190, we actually walk you through that whole process, and you see us drain the glycerin off.
Okay. Well, that really was very, very helpful, Graydon. That's exactly what I was looking for when I called you up, because I want to do this at home. You know, this is something I'm going to experiment with. I don't think I'll try the canola. Maybe I'll start off with the canola oil just to see if I can even pull it off, and then move up from there.
Yeah, you bet. give yourself confidence and let it kind of go from there. I will tell you one thing. It is highly addictive. Once you are making your own fuel,
right,
and realize that you can do it,
right,
it becomes incredibly fun and incredibly addictive.
Where would I start with, like, taking my biodiesel? Would I put it in a lawnmower? It's like a small engine. Well, the thing is, I don't have a diesel engine, and I don't know too many people that would allow me to put my – here, I made some biodiesel of my own, and I'd like to stick it
in. I made some gunk, and I put it in
your – Yeah, your neighbor would love that.
So maybe I could start – I was thinking about, like, a small powered engine, you know like maybe like a lawnmower or a small generator. You know, what would you suggest?
I would suggest finding some sort of a generator that's diesel run and putting it in there, or finding someone with an old diesel something, be that a tractor, be whatever it is, to let you experiment with.
Steve, if you use the diesel generator, then you would be making the energy to power your lights and your refrigerator and everything in your house. You can go from, it doesn't have to be your car, it can be electricity in your house.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking like small engine first, like a small generator. Yeah, but most of those that I've seen, and I used to sell them at Sears, they all ran on just plain old gasoline.
Yeah, it's difficult to find a diesel small engine without paying quite a bit of money for it. It does bring up another point, and it's something we haven't talked about. Biodiesel can actually replace fuel oil in homes that burn petroleum-based fuel oil. And I have customers all over the Eastern Coast that have made biodiesel and are burning it in their home and heating their home with it. And when heating fuel went through the air, they were sitting nice and pretty. And so if you have some sort of a small burnable device that burns fuel oil, you could test it in that as well. You can also test it in kerosene heaters that are forced air kerosene heaters, not the wicking ones. That's probably the least expensive method because, a couple $100, you can buy one of those and start testing your fuel in it.
For those of us who live in Texas, where we don't use heating oil, because we use air conditioning most of the year, how much gallon wise are you talking about to heat your house for the winter?
I don't know. In Utah, we heat with natural gas, and so I'm not aware of how much consumption those heaters go on and or what it did. I just know that I had customers that said it was. They were heating their home for a quarter of what it was costing them to heat using fuel oil.
That sounds good.
Sounds real good to me. Yeah, it sounds real good to me.
Yeah, this is probably of the two segments. I'd say this is probably the one that it's on a personal level. Mm-hmm. This is the one that will really help because I think I've learned more in this segment than I did in the first. I like to make my own oil, and then you're saying go out and burn it. I really want to be able to walk and run around town in a car burning biodiesel. That's a dream of mine. That's how low level my dreams are.
You just want people to smell your fumes and things.
There you go. You know, it was kind of funny. Speaking of that, this all kind of kicked off in the United States on a hippie sort of movement. The environmentalists are what really brought it to light. Uh-huh. And one of my, not to go political on it, but one of my most famous bumper stickers that I sold for quite a while was biodiesel, no war required. And so you can plaster that to the back of your car and see how well you do in Texas. But if you did want to get into this, you could always go on eBay and find very, very inexpensive diesel engine Volkswagen vehicles. I mean, you can get a Volkswagen Rabbit from the early 80s for a couple $100. Now, you got to figure out how to get it home.
Yeah.
But once you got it home, you could definitely run biodiesel in it with no problem.
Right. I could just have that car. Like I said, I only drive about 10 or 15 miles a week, and I'm not putting much demand on it, so I wouldn't have to really spend too much time cooking biodiesel in my basement every week. And I can get it, and I can get around, And this is, and it's a relatively inexpensive way to become independent. And then once I've realized, this is a lot. It's a lot easier than I thought it was, and it's a lot more fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Than I thought, and I also get a lot of. What's the word I'm looking for? Is I get a lot of satisfaction out of working on things and creating things, and I think this is probably that this would satisfy that,
Yeah,
you're doing something good for yourself, and you're doing something good for the earth, and so there's a lot of beneficial things there.
And from Steve, they don't happen to make diesel power hearse, do they?
No, apparently not.
You know what's interesting, to bring this also back to politics too, though? Obama's ride, the new limo, is powered by a Duramax. I say we get him to put biodiesel in that to send a message. So,
yeah, you mentioned that Duramax before, but that's in the larger vehicles, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, you can't get a Duramax in a small vehicle. However, Isuzu made a lot of diesel vehicles in the early 80s. Isuzu, Toyota, Mazda, Nissan. I mean, all of them had these diesel engine vehicles. Volkswagen's obviously the most popular just because they sold the most. But you can clear up into the – well, actually, you can get a – the only year that they didn't sell a diesel vehicle in the U.S. for Volkswagen was 2007. And they didn't because they didn't quite meet the EPA standards. So from 2006 clear back into the late 70s, you're going to be able to find Volkswagen diesel vehicles. And the same is true of Mercedes. So you pick your year and go looking and you can find it. Craigslist is littered with them. I mean, you can get Volkswagens and Mercedes fairly inexpensive.
Well, you know, tonight after I get off here, I'm going to check over those eBay postings and see if I can't find something nearby.
It's you just, bet.
You know,
Craigslist too.
Craigslist. I live in a small town, Illinois. I'm in the middle of, you know, there's corn growing all over me, and there's soybeans here as well. But I, like I said, I'm isolated in the middle of nowhere. So I would have, I mean, there is no Craigslist all in the Illinois. I would have to shop out of Indiana or St. Louis or Chicago or something like that. But
it's funny you mentioned Illinois because I want to kind of bring up an educational point on this. If I've had an awful lot of students that are doing science fair projects in the last little while do biodiesel and actually do quite well in the science fairs because it's, you know, it's green and all of this thing. And I had one student in Utah that won the school, then the district, then the region, then the state, and she won all sorts of national naval awards and different things like that. There's a school in Illinois, Dalton, Illinois, if you know where that's at. It's up near Chicago. Won $50,000 from Lexus. They won the Eco Challenge, and their whole project was based on biodiesel. They bought an old Mercedes. They made their biodiesel in this thing. And if you go to biodieselpictures.com, and you scroll down to the Utah Biodiesel Supply customer section, there's school projects in there. And so if you wanted to use biodiesel just as a method to teach people about renewable energy as well, it's a wonderful tool because it's so easy to make.
Okay. Well, I think we'll wrap this one up right here. Like I said, I think this one is very beneficial. You're talking to a bunch of guys that came together from a site that was it's dominated by economics, but you know, through a series of events, now we're concerned about taking back control of our own lives, and we're doing that by limiting our dependencies. So I really appreciate Graydon Blair joining us for this podcast. You know, I can't say enough. I think this is the kind of the direction I'd like to take the podcast. But I want to thank Larry. I want to thank Sam. I want to thank Rick. I want to thank Joe and everybody that joined us tonight, but especially Graydon Blair.
You bet. Also, one additional thing. If you do have additional questions on biodiesel and you're able to bring them up, or if people out there listening would like to learn about it, feel free to email me. I'm at info@utahbio.com, and I do answer all my own emails, and I'm happy to answer any questions in relation to biodiesel.
And your website?
Website is utahbio.com. It's a Utah Biodiesel Supplies, the name of the business. And if you wanted to learn about biodiesel, we've got more information than you can shake a stick at there. And we have links up to other places. We're happy to share. So.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it so much. Thank you, Graydon.
Yeah, thanks, Graydon.
Yeah, Graydon, really appreciate your time and all your information. Has been very good. We really appreciate it.
You bet. Happy to share. Always happy to. While we're kind of waiting for him, we can kind of I can address some of these other questions that I don't know if he wants on the show or not. Demographics wise, I've got a very wide customer base, but I would say my most common customer is a middle-aged man with some disposable income that's got some time on his hands and wants to get into this. Last summer, it was the pissed off business owners that wanted to kill OPEC. and Exxon, because they just, I had one customer that called me and says, I'm doing this because I'm just mad as hell at Exxon. It's okay. So
hey, it sounds to me like, yeah, like the middleman, the small businessman is really getting shafted with mm-hmm. the high oil prices last summer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It shut down.
It just really cut into his bottom line. Yeah.